Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You ever heard that before? I've already heard that this morning. It's called the mind of the Spirit. I think we're going somewhere with everything this morning. I want to read another scripture before I get into the message. And it says, and then he said to them, well, I'll back up a little. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their nets into the sea, and for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. I'm just going to open up with prayer before we get into our word this morning. Father, we thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this morning that the words that come forward would just stir our hearts, Lord, and penetrate our spirit and cause us to push closer to you in everything we do. And we give you praise, glory, and freedom this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I just want to start out by saying we're going to talk about harvest. And it seems funny because we're still in spring. When's the first day of summer? June 21st. And so we're going to talk about harvest in the spring and summer coming up. Yeah, we're going to. And I want to just give you the title to my message. And it's a question. Is God calling you to be a part of the harvest team? That's what I would title it this morning. So, well, I'm just going to go back to the scripture, and this morning I'm just going to really just share from my heart some things about harvest time and being a part of the harvest and how important it is in the kingdom of God. And these are the words of Jesus that says, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. And that is so real in our churches, isn't it? And in our organizations today, that we have a lot of people that are not participants in the labor force. There's a small amount that are in the labor force. And you know, when I was thinking about harvest, you know, it takes you back in time. And I can remember as a young teenager, when we moved to the Maritimes, we moved to a small farming community. And that community were big potato growers. And some of you may have heard me talk about the potato industry there, but what would happen in the fall, they would close school down. Everybody in school would go pick potatoes. Now, you're probably thinking, pick potatoes? Well, here's how it worked. If you were a mother and you were like a stay-at-home mom, you would probably take your two or three kids and go pick potatoes. And myself, my brother and I went. My mom worked in a bank, so she didn't go. But it was a lot of families and stuff, and we would pick. And so they would have a tractor that would have a digger, and he would come along and dig the potatoes, and we would pick them up. Now, they would assign everybody a section, a little plot, and it would be ribboned out, and you picked those sections. As the digger went by, you'd fill these baskets. And then you dump them into a potato barrel. And so, you know, from a young age, you know, being around farming, even my grandfather's farm, you know, you have a different sense of harvest. And it takes work. And, you know, I can remember even as a kid picking potatoes, you know, I get home my back and I was like 13, 14 years old and I'm thinking, I feel like I'm 90. You know, and hard work, and it was good for us, but it taught us some things about harvest. That harvest takes people. That crop would never get taken in if there wasn't people to do the harvest. And you know what? It was hard work doing that. And so the harvest is important. Sometimes we lose sense of that. We lose sense that, why are we doing this? Why are we coming to church? Why are we a part of the church? You know, are we here for ourselves? Or what are we here for? But we're here to be a part of this harvest team. And Jesus encourages us to follow him, and he'll make us fishers of men. He's encouraging us to be a part of his harvest team. Now, it's not my team. It's not Pastor Ken's team. But it's God's team. You know, we're a part. This church is a part of God's harvest team. And he's looking for us to be a part of that. And, you know, it's important. Sometimes we just lose sense of the importance of the harvest. And, you know, when the flood came, Matthew, I'll just read a couple scriptures, but it said, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. I think sometimes we just don't realize the importance of the harvest. Souls are important. What we do is important as Christians. What part of that team do we want to be in? Souls are important. In Luke, there's a parable where Jesus is talking about the shepherd that left the 99. And he went and searched for that one lost sheep. And how in heaven, he'll rejoice over that one lost sheep. You see, sometimes we lose why we're doing this. We're here, we're a big flock. Okay, but we don't realize that, you know, our harvest field is outside these four walls. When we drive in this community, the homes on the back street, the homes on this street, and across, they're our harvest field. We're working for the kingdom. We should have that mentality. This is important. This crop, this harvest is important. And sometimes we lose sight how important it is. And we see the shepherd that left his flock to go look for that one lost one. And you know what? I've told you the story before, but I've left my herd before and went and looked for this one lost cow. It got lost in the woods, and I searched and searched and searched and found it. And I did rejoice once I found it. I forgot about all the ones in the pasture. It was just I was more concerned to getting this lost one that was missing. You see, where is our focus? Where is our thought process on the lost? On the one that's missing? On the ones out there that are missing? It's important. Lives are important. You know, for God so loved the world, what's it say? We all know that scripture. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish. You see, that's important. It's important. This crop is important. We don't want anybody to perish. We don't want anybody to lose sight. That's why we're doing things here at KW. That's why we're investing in these things. Important. People are important. Everybody's important. I think of that. I think of people. You know, do I have a chance to influence them for the kingdom? Are we doing that on a daily basis? Or are we just hoarding what we have to ourselves? The kingdom is important. The harvest is important. The seed is important that's planted. So we see that Jesus is pushing us to be a part of this team, saying, be a part of this. There's lots of work to do out there. You know, and when God calls us to these things, you know, what are we called to do? We're called to be laborers in the kingdom. Now, sometimes we don't know what our calling is, and sometimes we do. But I think it's important for us to grab a hold of these areas and to pray and to see what God would have us do and to work toward those areas. You see, Jonah was called to be in ministry. God called Jonah. And he told him to go to Nineveh, but he didn't want to go. How many of us, when God asks us to do something, do we not want to go? Oh, wow. Is there any honest people here? We've all been there before. You know, I've been there before. I'm like trying to make up excuses. Why not? But God can call us to do things. And we need to be listening to his voice and what he asked you to do. You need to do it. We need to be doers of the word. Whatever he asked you. What's he calling you to do? The scripture says that, and the world will pass away. All these things are going to pass away. And the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. These things we're doing in the natural, they don't mean anything. What we're doing in the spiritual makes sense. Because this harvest is so important. This harvest is so great. You see, we would have a different mentality about the harvest. And let's just take the spiritual back from it for a minute and think about the natural and say that newsflash was, okay, this fall, from there for the next year, there's going to be no rain. Could not have no rain in Canada. We would be out harvesting this year. We can read in the Bible where there were famines and droughts and how it affected nations. We're living in a nation of anything we want we can have at our fingertips. We don't have to worry about this or that. We can run the store. But what if everything changed and we weren't going to get any rain? Global warming really is real, and it is probably. But it's going to alter things so much that there's going to be no food next year. I'm telling you, we would all have a totally different mentality when it came to the harvest. We would be doing whatever we could do to gather food, crumbs, whatever, set them aside, store it aside, to get through what we are going to do. Because our families might not make it. And just a little story like that. Back home, the potato industry. So the potato farmers, now they have big harvesters. And so nobody picks by hand like we used to. But there'll be runoffs and spill-offs, or there'll be little sections that aren't dug. And they'll just let local people go in there and gather up their crop. Go in there and gather their potatoes. No charge. You know, I think, you know, if a disaster was coming and we were known and we could see it coming, we'd be out there packing bags full of that. Every person in this town knowing that was, they'd be growing tomatoes and vegetables and canning and things like that. We'd have a different mindset. We would see the importance of that. Oh, we might not have food to live or survive. Well, how much more is the kingdom of God important? How much more is a person's life? How much more is a person's soul worth in life than the natural things? But we let it slip by. And we don't take that as a priority to reach the lost. That's why it's important for us as a church, as a body. So the Bible says that we are one body, but we have many parts. You are a body and you have many parts. The church is one body and has many parts. And we all have different gifts. But we need to learn to use our different gifts for the kingdom of God. Yes. It says we all have different gifts according to the graces given to us. And if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy according to your faith. That's what the Bible says. We all have these different gifts. It says in the Bible too, some are pastors like us. Some are apostles. Some are prophets. Some are evangelists. Some are teachers. There is so much parts of this working body. So let's go back to the farming. So if we're digging potatoes, it takes many people. You know, one guy's driving a tractor digging the crop. There's these kids like me. We're picking up all the potatoes, putting them in, filling up the barrels. And then there's somebody coming along on another tractor with a trailer, and they're putting all the barrels on that. And then That person's taking them into the potato storage. Then it goes along a conveyor, and there's a bunch of ladies there picking out the bad ones and the rocks, throwing them away. And then it goes down another stage, and then it goes into a storage bin. You know, so we would never be able to get that crop in if we didn't have the kids, the guy to dig it, and then the kids to pick it up, and then the person to take it in, and the sorting. You see how it works in the church? It doesn't do any good if we're just up here standing talking. That we're doing our part. I'm not saying people aren't doing their part. Just please hear the word. But it takes people to be an usher. It takes people to be a greeter. It takes people to do the Stevens ministry. It takes people to do 101. It takes people to teach Sunday school. It takes people to do backyard bash. It takes a big crew of people to do walk of lights. You see what I mean, folks? It takes people to harvest. If we want to go out of these four walls, it takes us, people, to do what God's called us to do. Something that came to me when Pastor Ken was talking about the young children, and I'm not going to say this is theological medicine from me, but he was mentioning about the kids and how important at that young age and their commitment. And I was thinking about the crop a little bit, how it spoils. Okay? But I was thinking about something. I grew strawberries for a while on my farm. And we grew like 5 acres of them. But you know, there's a point where that berry is just as ripe as can be. And it's perfect for the picking. And there would be times we couldn't pick them all. And it bothered me. And I'd go back a couple days later, and it would begin to spoil. As it aged, it began to spoil. As it got older, just suppose there's some truth in why a young heart, a ripe heart, is more ready for a harvest than a heart that's begun to spoil and get a little bit rotten and not taste as good. It's a little more difficult. That's not part of my message. It's just a rabbit trail. But it came up when Pastor was speaking. I think there's something about the ripeness, the crop, when it's time to harvest. And I think this is the time of harvest. So, working in the kingdom. Working in the kingdom. Think building a harvest, taking in a harvest is easy work. There's probably people that would say, be involved in the harvest. It's great. It's great. It's perfect. Well, it's hard work. And it's not always great. Right? Sometimes you have to dig through the weeds around the plants to find that ripe fruit, to pick it. It's not always easy. It takes hard work. It takes sacrifice. It takes your time. Let me read you something about working. In Genesis, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. We're here to work. Now, we like to say we're here saved by grace, not by works, and we're here saved by grace and not by works. It's right. The Bible says works without faith is dead. But I can go through the Bible where it talks about working. And reaping the harvest takes work. Here's something Proverbs going to say. Now, I'm just going to prepare you. You got to love me. Okay? You got to love me. And this is the word of Proverbs, not Larry, Pastor Larry, okay? It says, he who gathers a crop in the summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son. Wow. Let me just read that one more time. He who gathers the crop in the summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son. Proverbs said it. I'm just reading it, so you can still love me. But it's saying something about being lazy and being a worker. How many people want to be a good son? How many people want to please their Father in heaven? I'm going to challenge you then, be a part of the harvest. Be a part of that team, because God wants you in there. I could give you a couple more scriptures, but I think I hit you with enough on that. You know, didn't mean to hit you too hard either. Second of all, you know, to be in this harvest and to work in this harvest, we have to die to self. What's it saying? Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. We have to crucify our own will, our own emotions, our own thoughts. You know, there's times we're not going to feel like getting up and going to the barn and do the chores, or going out to the field and harvesting the crop. And my boys on a Saturday never got to sleep in. They didn't. Saturday morning, you know, they're out. And in the beginning, you know, probably I just grabbed their leg and hauled them out of bed, like a strong father I was. And then after a while, they just knew, like, it was part of the, you know, it's like, come on, Matt. Come on, Joel. You know, they're talking back and forth. Okay, we got to get to work, right? And after a while, they just got used to it. Sometimes you just have to die to yourself on things and crucify. You know, the biggest distraction today that I believe Satan uses to keep us from being a part of the harvest, because, you see, he doesn't want you to be a part of the harvest. He doesn't want us to be a part of the harvest. He doesn't want us to take people that aren't saved and get them saved and take them to heaven. He wants to take them with him. Sometimes time is our biggest distraction. And I really think that in this world, that time controls our life. And we're like, oh, I haven't got time today. Oh, yeah, you know, I'd like to go do that at the church, but I haven't washed the car in 3 days, and I got to get it washed. Or I got to vacuum the floor at the house and got to do some housework, and this and that. I haven't got time. Or, you know what, I'm on the ball team, and I got a baseball game tonight. So I got to go, you know, like all these, we can always make up all these excuses. And most of the time we can justify them to ourselves. Why we can't go be a part of something. We can all justify it. I could justify it. Oh, I've been there like 5 days now. I think I should not go there tonight. And, you know, watch something like Fox News. No. But that's what we do. We do that in our life. We justify. We take the time God's given us, and we prioritize it to ourselves, not to him. You see, he should be the highest priority in our life. We should be on that harvest team. We should be up in the morning with our work boots on and our hat and our tools in our hand, ready to go to work for the kingdom. But what are we doing? We're sitting around in our PJs and our slippers and our coffee, and we're watching Desperate Housewives, catching up on it or something else Saturday morning, you know. Guys, I don't watch Desperate Housewives, but it just sounded good. I watch Fox News. You guys are getting that, aren't you? But our time, you see, he's wanting us to be a part of this team, right? Oh, there's a meeting at the church. Yeah, I know. I'd love to be a part of that small group, or I'd love to be a part of that ministry, but I got too many other things to do tonight. And then next week, it's the same thing. You see, God's asking us to be a part of his harvest team. And you know what? We should be jumping all in. Yeah. and not out. We should be diving in. This is the Savior that's asking us to follow him. He'll make us fishers of men. He'll make us a part of that team if we'll just take that step. But we stand back and we try to let all the other 10% at the church do that, because they do a good job. You know, they're much better at it than me. I'd probably just get in the way. We've all had those thoughts. I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified enough. I don't know enough about that to be leading that ministry or to help in that ministry. Well, God uses unqualified people. He can use unqualified people more than he can use qualified people most of the time. He can take and use people that have no education more sometimes than lots of educated people. And I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying sometimes our education will talk to us and say, that's not possible. I can't do that. God will use everybody. Whether you're educated, uneducated, whether you're a kid, whether you're middle-aged, whether you're a middle-aged person, whether you're an old person, if you're 90 years old, God can still use you. He can still use you. Because this team, this harvest team, is a big team. God wants all of us to be a part of this team. Yes. I'm going to go one more step farther before I close. Sometimes God will ask you to sacrifice something. And I know we were talking about time. But he'll ask you a lot of times to give up something that's the most dearest to you, the most important thing to you. And we see this in the scripture with Abraham as a man that waited his whole life for a son. He wanted that son. God promised him that son. And like, he was an old man when he had that son. And then the nerve of God to say to him, okay, I know you got everything you waited for like years, but now I want you to just put it on the altar. Give it back to me and sacrifice it. Now, that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. We would just be saying, well, why God? This and that. God may ask you to do something that you don't think is possible. Or you don't want to do. Because it's a sacrifice. But, you know, I love Abraham because of his heart and his spirit. And he gathered his son up, took him, laid him on the altar, and was getting ready to do the sacrifice, and what happened? God met him. You see, God provided for him. And you know what? When we'll take the things that mean the most and sacrifice for God, he'll meet us in areas that we, you may say, well, I'm not qualified. But because you honored him and you are willing to sacrifice this and give it to God, he will bring something to make that supernatural provision for you. He'll provide that. And the biggest thing of it all, it wasn't that he just wanted to show him a miracle. The major thing was, he just wanted to see where his heart was. He just wants to see where our heart is. Is Fox News more important than me to come to a midweek practice, midweek service, Stephen's ministry meeting, funeral? I'm talking to myself too. What's more important? We got to learn to sacrifice some things. Some things that we invested our whole life in that's consuming our time or consuming our life, that God's asking you, take that and put it on the shelf and put me first and become a part of this team, this harvest team, that we can go out and reap the harvest that right now is ripe. Yes. It's ripe. It's ripe. I'm just closing right now. We're just going to go into close. But think about the ripeness of everything. It's ripe. You know, we've heard our whole life that Jesus is coming again. Well, he is. I got to read you this little word that I read this morning. And it's a prophetic word. I'm not really big into a lot of that. Hasn't always been my gifting, but I've had some lately, and they're usually while Pastor Ken is speaking. And so I just want to read this because I really think it fits in with this message, and I really feel the Lord spoke it to me because I just started writing. And it's simply called, it was like I was sitting there and the Lord said to me, "Are you in or are you out?" That's what he said to me first. Are you in or are you out? Are you a part of my harvest team or are you not? You see, there's no in-betweens. There's no lukewarmness. It's either you're in or you're out. If you're lukewarm, you'll just spit you out. If you're only halfway in, it don't count at all. You might say, "Oh, I'm doing half the 50%. He doesn't want 50%. He wants your whole heart. He wants you to be radical for him. He wants you to be first place in your heart, in your life, in everything you do. He wants to be first place. Because there's things happening in the spirit realm. I'll read this. I'm causing a shifting in the spirit realm that's coming to my house like the chaff which the wind drives away. Be in and not out. Because just as the times of Noah, people were more interested in themselves than people, than me. People were partying, drinking, dancing, marrying, not realizing that I was about to return. They were lovers of themselves. But I say to you, put me first in everything you do. Seek after me first. Hunger and thirst for me, and I will fill you overflowing. For the harvest is great, and the time to reap is the harvest is now. I need you to harvest. Bring the harvest into my house so it may be full to overflowing. Your time is short, my return is soon. I warn you, be ready, watch, work for my kingdom. Give yourself to me because I promise you, I'm coming again." Let's all stand. How many people here today feel like, you know, they could be more a part of the kingdom of God, this harvest team? How many people here feel that in their heart, feel that tugging that, you know, I'm just not doing enough for God? You know? I'm telling you, folks, this is the real deal. You know, we hear it over our life about people playing church. We're not playing church. I'm not trying to be hard this morning, but I'm telling you, we're here for a purpose. To be a part of the end time harvest. He's made a provision for us to be saved. So now that we've become saved, what are we doing with it? Are we hiding that light like we learned in Sunday school? Or are we going to take it and shine it? Are we going to take and use the gifts and the callings that God has placed in us to advance the kingdom of God? There's a famine coming. There's a flood coming. There's an end coming at some point. We need to be gathering all we can gather. Gather all we can gather. Gather all we can gather. Let's just bow our heads as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the people that lifted their hands this morning, Lord. And Lord, I pray that that you continue to stir my heart as well as theirs, Lord, to be more a part of your kingdom, to be wanting to do as much as we can do to be a part of your harvest team. Lord, I pray that this morning that people will feel called to be evangelists, will feel called to be a part of the kids ministry, will feel called to be a part of the Stevens ministry and the worship team and the greeters and the ushers and the outreach programs we do. Lord, I pray that we'll all get in and we won't get out, Lord, and that we won't miss out on the things that you have for us, and that we will not put our time above your time, Lord, and our things above your things, that we will seek you first and have you as the forefront of our life, Lord, and that we will work for the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that you bring workers. Your word says that. I pray that you bring us workers, Lord. I pray you make every individual in our church workers. If we just had everybody working for your kingdom, Lord, what could we do in this end of Kitchener? Who could we reach? Which loss could we save, Lord? Whose life could be salvaged? Whose marriage, whose family? Lord, I pray that you continue to work in our hearts this week. In the name of Jesus.